spending so much time this summer learning, you might now want to know where it all comes from. And we spend so much time learning, and particularly learning Gemara is full of machlokas, and you might wonder where that comes from too. Why is there so much machlokas? So the Rambam is going to, we're about to see the Rambam's introduction to his most basic halachic work. Before he wrote the Mishneh Torah, before he wrote the Mor Nevuchim, before he wrote most of what he's famous for, his first really famous work is his Perush on Mishnayos, the most basic work of Torah Shebaal Peh, Mishnayos, and he gives you a Mishnah by Mishnah Perush. He was one of the first, maybe the first, to write a running Perush on Mishnayos. And Mishnah by Mishnah, he'll give you the basic background that you need to understand the Mishnah. But every once in a while, he'll back up and say, before we jump into the line by line Mishnah treatment, we need some big pieces. Before he starts Kachim, I need to tell you some things about Karbanas. Before he starts Taharas, I need to tell you some things about how Tumah V'Tahara work. Before he starts Pirkei Avos, he has a famous introduction called the Shmona Prakim, the eight chapters, where he says, before we can learn about Musar and Midos and self-improvement, let's back up and talk a little bit about human psychology in general, and what sort of person are we trying to become. So throughout the Perush on Mishnayos, he has different introductions to particular zones. But before he starts brachos, before he starts anything, before the very beginning of the Perush on Mishnayos, at the outset, he has a general hagdama l'mishnah, as you see on the top. This is going to be introduction to Torah in general. Torah. Where did Torah come from? And how did it get from over there to here? How did it get from Sinai to us? So he says, the very first thing you have to know, Daki chol mitzvah shenasna Hashem l'Moshe Rabbeinu nitna lo im perusho. The first thing you need to know, the opening sentence is already pretty loaded. Every mitzvah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu, it was given to him with its perush, with its explanation. A host of important ideas in this opening sentence. Number one, obviously he's reiterating that the Torah was given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. Number two, he's telling us that the units of Torah, he doesn't say every pasuk, he doesn't say every parsha, he says every mitzvah. The basic unit of Torah Shebaal Peh is the mitzvah. When the Gemara at the end of Maseches Makos says, you know, there are 613 mitzvahs, the Gemara doesn't tell us what they are, and many Gaonim and Rishonim spent a lot of time trying to figure out which are the 613 mitzvahs, because there are so many more than 613 halachos that are binding. There are thousands, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of binding halachos. So obviously not every halacha is a mitzvah. What does it take to be in this exclusive list of 613 mitzvahs? So many Gaon and Rishonim spend time on that, and the Rambam is one of the most famous in the list of those who were involved in the Minyan HaMitzvahs, figuring out which are the 613 mitzvahs. And for the Rambam, it wasn't just, you know, that's an interesting Gemara, let's figure out which are the 613 mitzvahs. For the Rambam here and in many other places, it's clear that he sees the mitzvahs as the building blocks of halacha. So we are studying this summer, the two mitzvos of tefillin, elaborating on the two mitzvos of tefillin. So the Rambam says, Hashem gave the mitzvos to Moshe Rabbeinu to transmit to Klal Yisrael. He hasn't mentioned that, the transmission yet. Hashem gave the mitzvos to Moshe Rabbeinu, and nitna lo im perusho. He gave it to him with its perish. It was a two-part transmission. What does that mean? So he goes on to say, Hayah Hashem, omer lo ha-mikra, Ribbono Shel Olam would tell him the mikra. The pasuk. In other words, mitzvah means a pasuk in Chumash. Something that appears in the Torah Shebichsav. V'yachar kach omer lo perusho v'inyano u'mashakolo zeh ha-mikra mechukam. Then he would go on to explain what that pasuk means. What do we call that? We call that Torah Shebaal Peh. The Rambam is telling us that both the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebaal Peh were given from Moshe Rabbeinu, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. So both Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh are Misinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't just give Moshe Rabbeinu the bare Psukim and Chumash, and their interpretation was all made up later. No, the interpretation is also from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, the lingering question is going to be, how far does that go? You mean if later today, in discussing the Seder HaParshios in Menachos, Daf Lamed Daled, so one of you comes up with an interesting insight. One of you has a kasha, Yonatan has a kasha, and Mati has an answer. And Shlomo pushes back. And Zachariah says, no, here's a solution. So Hashem had told all that to Moshe Rabbeinu? Did Hashem tell him that Zachariah is going to say this and Shlomo is going to say that? Really? And one of what happens with this machlokas. Which one did Hashem tell to Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Rambam opens by saying, Torah Mi Sinai, and Torah Mi Sinai includes both Torah Shebichzav, the text of Chumash, as well as Torah Shebapeh, the interpretation. But now we're going to need to keep our eyes open to see, this is just sort of the basic framework. Let's see how it fills in the details. The first detail he fills in is, so far he only spoke about Hashem teaching Moshe. Vayatoar, the first detail he begins to fill in is, what was the next step? Vayatoar limudo li Yisrael kamosha asaper lecha. Moshe didn't just hold on to it for himself. He taught it to Klal Yisrael, and it looked like this. Based on the Midrash HaHalacha, the Rambam paints the following sketch of Moshe teaching Torah to the Jewish people. Hayabala ohalo. Moshe comes to his tent. Rashi tells the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, that over the course of 40 years in the desert, Moshe Rabbeinu would go into the Mishkan. Mishkan wasn't only a place for Karbanos. He would walk into the Mishkan to learn new pieces of Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he would leave the Mishkan after having heard a shir from the best Rebbe in the universe, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Moshe Rabbeinu would come, leave the Mishkan, come back to his own tent. V'nichnas eilav tchila Aaron. And Aaron came in. Moshe would be Kore the Mikra. He would teach him the Pasuk, teach him the Torah Shebichzav once, and Mulamdo Perusho. And Moshe would also teach him, here's what that Pasuk means. Basukh is Teshu Shivas Yamim, and here's what a sukkah looks like. Here's what Teshu is, what it means to live in a sukkah. V'yachach Mistalek Aaron, and then Aaron would move to the side. Chosli min Moshe Rabbeinu. Now he sits alongside Moshe Rabbeinu on the right side, and then the next set of Talmidim come in. Nichnasim Achar Kein Elaz Avi Samar Banav, the Bnei Aaron. The Kor Moshe Gam Lehem Kamosha Kara La'ar. Moshe teaches to them the Psukim and the Perish. The Mistalkim Shnehem. Now they move to the side, one to Moshe's left and one to Aaron's right. So now we're beginning to build like a dais in front. We have Moshe, Aaron, Aaron's sons, and who's the third set of Talmidim? Who's the third set of Talmidim? The third set of Talmidim. Yeah, the Zakenim, exactly. The Shivim Zakenim come in, and Malamda Moshe Gamke. Moshe teaches them. Kemoshe Limed Aaron Ubanov. Right? Okay, we're starting to get a pattern here. We're going to go to four, and then things change. Nechnasim Achar Kein Hamon Am. So the first round was Aaron learned. Second round, Aaron, the Kohanim learned. Third round, the Zakenim learned. And the fourth round was democratic. It was open to everyone, open shir. Open shir. Kol mevakesh Hashem. Anyone who's seeking connection with Ribbono Shalom, v'kori gam lehem, ad sheyishmu hakol mimenu. You notice what the Rambam stressed? Everyone heard it directly from Moshe Rabbeinu. Now you might say, everyone heard directly from Moshe Rabbeinu, but some people got a lot more chazara than others. And Aaron heard it four times. The Kohanim, the other Kohanim, Aaron's sons heard it three times. It came heard twice. And the Hamonam, they only heard it once. Yeah, Yonatan? What do you want to say? That's an excellent, excellent question. So Yonatan is asking, how did everyone hear Moshe Rabbeinu? So there are indications in Chazal, as you said, that there may have been miracles involved in Moshe's audibility to Klal Yisrael. That's number one. Number two, you'll notice that he didn't say every single Jew came in. He said whoever wanted to came in. And he's actually, as we continue on next couple lines, he's going to address your question more directly. But first, the other point, which is not everyone has heard it. Everyone heard it from Moshe, as the Rambam stressed, but not everyone heard it so many times. So if I'm not one of these special groups, I'm not a Kohen, I'm not one of the Shivim Zakenim, I only got to hear it once. What happened to Chazar Shir? It's before YU Torah. Right? It wasn't recorded, or was it? Or was it? So, and the Rambam stresses that. He says, Aaron Shamei Mikra is the Arba Pami Moshe. Aaron heard it four times the Moshe. His two sons heard it from him, Shalosh Pami. Zekanim heard it Pamayim. And everyone else heard it once. But he says, don't worry. Everyone gets to hear it more than once. Just a question of from whom. He says that then Mistalek Moshe Mehem, Moshe steps to the side, and then Aaron would teach. Aaron would teach. He had heard it from Moshe four times, and now he teaches it to everyone who's present. And then he steps to the side. Then Shnei Banav, skipping down as we let's skim a little bit. Nimsu Shnei HaBanim Shomimo So Arba Pa'amim Gamkin. So the Aaron had heard it four times from Moshe. Aaron's sons had heard it four times also, three times from Moshe, and one time from their father. Shalosh Mimosha, Achas Mi Aaron. And then Chosen Gamalozov Yisamar Achahistalik Aaron, Vikorim Zeh Mikr Be'eno. And then they would give a shir. So Moshe taught it four times, and then Aaron taught it once, and then Elazar Yisamar teach it. They heard it four times, and now they teach it. Asher Shema Uhu Arba Pa'am, they heard it four times, as we said, to everyone who remains. Mistalkim and Limud Gamkin, and they leave. And finally, Nimtzu'u Shivim Zekanim Shomim Zeh Mikra Arba Pa'am Gamkin. Now let's think about, we're not yet up to our fifth group, our fourth group of Talmidim, the entire Jewish people, but our third group, the Shivim Zekanim, they've heard it four times. How? Twice from Moshe, once from Aaron, and once from Aaron's sons. And what do you think comes next? Exactly. Now the Shivim Zekanim give shir. The Shivim Zekanim teach L'chol HaNimtza'im. Korim Zeh HaMikr LeHamon Pa'amachas. They teach to everyone. Nimtzu Ha'am Shomim Zeh HaMikr Arba Pa'amim Gamkim. To everyone who came to hear shir, if you weren't one of these special groups, you weren't a Kohen, you weren't a Zaken, you still got to hear the shir four times. Once for Moshe, as he says, Pamim at the end of the paragraph, Pami Moshe, Shnei mi Aaron, Shlishis mi Banav, Revias mi Shivim Zekanim. That's a very visual, very, very vivid description. And the Rambam is getting several key points across. Number one, we're getting a sense. I was joking before, there was no YU Torah, right? And there was no Zoom. And obviously they didn't have printed svarim, and they probably didn't have headphones in either. Headphones, of course, are only playing the shir. They didn't. A lot of the technology, a lot of the details, and not just in terms of 21st century technology. Obviously, a lot of the setting was different, but fundamentally, the Rambam is stressing, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Rosh Yeshiva. Rav Shailat makes this point in his notes. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Rosh Yeshiva. He said a shir. He said different shiurim to different groups. There were Chazara shiurim. There's many of the fundamentals. Fundamental structure of a yeshiva is ancient. That's part of what the Rambam is stressing. There is a live masora of Torah stretching back across the centuries and the millennia. That's number one. Number two, he's stressing that everyone heard, you remember he made that point, everyone heard it from Moshe, everyone who wanted to heard it from Moshe at least once. That too is a critical point. That Moshe was directly teaching Torah to Klal Yisrael. Some people may have heard it from him more, some people may have heard it from him fewer times, but anyone who wanted had access to direct shiurim from Moshe Rabbeinu himself, b'chvodo v'atzmo. So we have the tzura of the yeshiva. We have the Jews in the Midbar all have direct access, unmediated access to learning Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. And number three, I would say, the importance of Chazara. And the Rambam is stressing, and maybe let's three and four, Chazara, the importance of Chazara, but also in terms of the Tzura of the Yeshiva, you're already seeing, even in the lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to put into motion a sense of the Masora of Torah. In other words, Moshe is teaching Aaron and he's teaching others. Moshe and Aaron are teaching the Bnei Aaron and they're teaching others. Moshe, Aaron, and the Bnei Aaron all teach the Zekanim and they in turn give Shi'urim as well. So the notion of a chain of masora, of learning and then passing it on, learning and teaching, l'limud u'l'lamed, that's already present from the outset. Now the Rambam later on is going to talk about the differences. There are some pretty severe differences between Torah in the days of Moshe and Torah post-Moshe. But he's beginning, and there are differences, we'll get to that, but he's beginning with some of the similarities. There was yeshiva, there were rebbeim, and there was chazara, and there was a masora of learning and teaching, and a chain of learning and teaching. And then it goes on to say, and this in part, the beginning of the next paragraph speaks to Yonatan's point. Let's see another couple of lines. On to the top of the next page. Achakach yafutza am lelamed kitzasam lekitzasam masha shomun ha-shaliach. And then, so anyone who wanted to walk into Moshe's actual yeshiva, his ohel, as Rambam had put it, had access. And you would hear shir from Moshe himself, as well as from Aaron, from the Bnei Aaron, and from the Shivim Zakenim. And then, you left. So you were in shir from 11 to 12:30, whatever it was, you were in shir. And then you walked out of the Beis Medrash. Yafutzu am lamed ksasim l'ksasim, asher sham l'shaliach. And then people would spread out throughout Machne Yisrael, which was a very large area, and they would teach one another what they had heard from the Shaliach, from God's messenger, from Moshe himself. So once again, reiterating this idea of a chain of Masora already existing, the dynamic of Masora already existing in the lifetime of Moshe Rabbeinu. And by the way, Yonatan, this may also speak to your point from before. There may have been a miraculous capacity for many people to hear Moshe. And Rashi does at times in Chumash quote that from the Midrash Halacha. At the same time, it sounds like, you know, whoever, as he said, whoever wanted to came to Shir. But maybe it was a little crowded. I don't know. But then they spread out. Whoever went to Shir, even if you weren't a Kohen or a Zakein, you would already be teaching others. You were from Shevet Zvulun, so you came back to Shevet Zvulun territory, and you would begin to teach your neighbors who didn't come to Shir. Here's what I heard in Shir today. And here's a new piece. They also began to write, after they left Shir, they wrote down the psukim on Megillos, on pieces of parchment. Now that's fascinating. The Gemara has, I believe it's Gittin Daf Samach, the Gemara has a discussion about that. Was Torah Shebichsav only written down Chasuma, was only committed to writing once at the end of the 40 years when the full Chamish Chumash had already been given. That's when the Torah describes Moshe Rabbeinu putting together the Sefer Torah. The Gemara's Machlokas, was he already writing bits and pieces earlier, and at the end of the 40 years he sewed it all together, or was nothing committed to writing at all until that point? So the Rambam here is taking the position that it was Megillah, Megillah, Nitna. That they were already writing down Torah Shebichsav, you know, in real time. They were live scribing. As they were getting piece of psukim, it sounds like they would go to Shir and listen, and then afterwards they would write notes. Rabbi Schechter told me, when he was in the Rav Shir, for a couple of years, he did not take notes. I can't see if you guys are taking notes or not. But he did not take notes in Shir all week long. The Rav said, ah, there you go. So some are taking notes, and some are in real time, and some are taking Rabbi Schechter's approach. Rabbi Schechter said he had heard, at the time, he had heard that when Aaron was in Shir, he wouldn't take notes during Shir. He would sit down at the end of the week and write out all the notes. In other words, not only was it from memory, but it was also already synthesized. In other words, you just go to Shir and just listen, hear, process, put it together, and then sit down at the end of the week and chazer from memory, look things up, and then write out the Shir. So Shechter told me that he's not sure whether or not that rumor he had heard was true, that Rav Aaron had done it, but he did that because he had heard that. He did that for a couple of years. The Rav said Shir, the Rav lived in Boston, would fly in every week, spend several days in New York giving Shirim at YU and elsewhere. So if for many years the Rav said Shir, I think 3 days a week. So Shechter said, after 3 days of Shir, he would sit down once a week and write out notes, right? So al derech, there are different styles. Some people like to write notes live. Some people like to write notes afterwards. Some people will take a little bit of notes live, then you sit down afterwards, you chazer, you process, and you rewrite your notes. So what was going, it's often that third approach is a good idea if you really want to be kone, what is it you're learning? Take some notes live, although if it's being recorded, it may not be necessary, and then you have what to work with afterwards to process, to chazer, and then to really write it up more thoroughly. So what the Rambam is saying here is that Klal Yisrael were writing down the Torah Shebichsav, the psukim, they were committing to writing, but not during shir. Sounds like they went to shir, they listened, you just absorbed hearing. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine hearing Moshe Rabbeinu? Say, God told me XYZ. Imagine that? So they would just go here. They'll go listen to Moshe, listen to Aaron, listen to Elazar B'Samar, listen to the Shivim Zakenim. They heard the Torah Shebichsav, they heard the Torah Shebapeh, and afterwards they would leave, they would go home, they would share what they learned with others, and the Torah Shebichsav piece they would write down. Yichdu Amikro B'Megilos, the part that was meant to be written down, they wrote down, the actual psukim. The Perish they would just memorize and review. And he says, Yafutzu Rashi Am B'Chol Yisrael Amei L'Shanein. And there were leaders of the people, Talmid Chachamim, who spread throughout the nation, teaching, reviewing, a lot of stress on Chazara here, L'Shanein. Adar Sheyedu Alpeh Zeh HaMikra V'Yidaktiku B'Kriya. So, number one, to make sure everyone knows the psukim by heart and knows how to enunciate them, to make sure you have the words correct, that you know the language of the Torah Shebichsav, the language of the Psukim, and then you lamdu gam hamik, gam perish the hamikra hanasun me'es Hashem. And they would teach as well, make sure everyone knew the Psukim, and make sure everyone knew the Torah Shebapeh, the interpretation of the Psukim as well. And he stresses, they would kosum hamikra v'lom dapeh ha-kabbalah. The psukim, the Torah Shebichsav, we committed to writing. The Kabbalah, the traditional interpretation, would be maintained al peh v'kach omrim hachachamim aleihem Torah Shebichsav v'Torah Shebapeh. This is the language he hasn't used. I've been using that terminology. He hasn't yet used this terminology, but now introduces that Chazal used the terminology, points in the footnotes to Gemara and Shabbos, Taf Lamed Alf, Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebapeh. So we're going to pick up, I think this is a good break point, we'll pick up from this point next time. So he's given us a sense of what the dynamic of a day in the life, what it looked like to be in Moshe Rabbeinu's yeshiva. I've sometimes wondered, like, what would it be like to be in Rabbeinu Tam's yeshiva? What would it be like to be in the yeshiva of the Amora? What would it have been like to sit in Pumbedisa? What was the learning like? I don't know, like, what was their schedule? When did they break for lunch? And what was the whole experience like? See, he's taken us back, Rama's taken us back 3,500 years, close to 3,500 years. What was it like in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu? So we got a slice of life, a sketch of the yeshiva of Moshe Rabbeinu. And just to recap, sort of the key threads that emerged, so far he's been stressing the similarities. As I said, we will get to, there are some critical differences between the period of Moshe and post-Moshe. That was a very significant transition, very significant pivot point in the history of halacha. Moshe Rabbeinu died, but for now, we begin with the similarities. There was a tzur of yeshiva, there were beim, and there were talmidim. Even within the yeshiva, there were people who were learning and then passing on. There was already a sense of masora. There was a strong stress on chazara, a tremendous stress on chazara, because if you actually want to not just check off the box that you showed up to shir, if you actually want to become a talmid chacham, you want to know something, you want to accomplish, if you want to get it done, and you want to master what you learn, you're going to have to chazer. And of course, the stress on Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebapeh, both of which people, any Jew who wanted, could learn directly from Moshe Rabbeinu, and which Moshe Rabbeinu in turn had learned, as Rambam opened, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebapeh, both min HaShamayim, are both Misinai, transmitted from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, and from Moshe Rabbeinu to the Jewish people. The next topic he's going to get to before he talks about the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, which next time we'll pick up with, he's going to start talking a little bit more, what does Torah Shebapeh mean? What does it mean, the Perish? What do we mean and what don't we mean by the interpretation of a Pasuk? And that may begin to give us a hint of a solution to our question of where does machlokas come from? How much Torah Shabbat did Hashem teach Moshe Rabbeinu? We'll pick up with that question next time.